Welcome to the Filthy Spoon Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Jeremy, the ginger one.
Yep. Assistant to the host. I didn't even say hostess this time. But anyway, let's get to the sponsors. Willow Creek Custom Calls. Old Brad Jones, he's down there turning them out. He's been putting up some pretty cool videos, cool calls he's building. He's got hats now. He's down there. He's got his own hat press. He's a pretty innovative guy. You'd never guess by talking to him, but pretty smart dude. I don't much care for the music he puts with his stories, but other than that, pretty good dude. So he's got his Cali Spec, his Mallard calls, his innovative Brandt calls. He's got all kinds of stuff. Good dude. And you can meet Brad at Marsh Days June 1st at Grizzly Ranch. So if I were you, I'd get down there because he'll probably give you a deal if you friggin', you know, give him the old, you know, I'm so broke, I just want a duck hunt, some sob story or something. I would do that if I were you. So come down and see Brad, me, Jeremy, everybody else down there at Grizzly Ranch for Marsh Day. It's going to be a good time. So anyway, you can get a hold of Willow Creek Custom Calls at 510-610-7625. Or you can get him a hold of him at willowcreekcustomcalls.com. And as I've said many times, send him emails, man. He loves getting emails. You know, hold off on the pictures. He might need to fill up it in a while. But, you know, any questions you got, send him old Brad's way. Superior Equipment Repair for all your truck equipment needs, big trucks, little trucks, Fords, Chevys, junk Dodges, whatever you got. We work on Bobcats, Caterpillars, New Holland, about anything you got. So give us a call. We got a state-of-the-art alignment machine at the shop in Lincoln. We're all over the whole North State. We got over 20 service trucks working on stuff all over, all the time. So get a hold of Superior at 833-343-7351 or SuperiorEquipmentRepair.com. And if you look at the cover page, you'll see my filthy, ugly mug and my little Laverne right there on front. So look us up. Give us a call, man. And on to Pinto Ridge Taxidermy. We love old Adam Oliver, man. He posted a cool wood duck the other day. I saw a super cool picture. And we got another name in the pot today for a free mounted bird at Duck Days, which I see they announced the dates. I want to say the 25th and 26th of August are the dates. So we actually got a date. And word on the street is Pat Kittle himself is going to come on this podcast and talk about it at some point. So that'll be cool. Go out there, and we're going to announce who wins the free mounted bird. So, cool deal. Look him up at Pinto Ridge Taxidermy on Instagram. And you don't have a website. You just get a hold of him on Instagram. And good stuff. Good work. I can't wait to see Ivan's son's bird that he did, that gabble he got. So, and I guess I'll let you do it again, man. You might as well.
I won't keep it as long winded.
The official Left Coast Waterfowl, old Ginger Jeremy's going to do his own little commercial here.
Yep, Left Coast Waterfowl, official leftcoastwaterfowl.com, and on Instagram. We make apparel for the avid hunter that basically goes right back into the community, and anything you buy from us goes into our proceeds towards taking juniors and veterans out into the field. And what we're doing right now is a limited run. We're doing 50 hats. We're selling them all at Marsh Days on June 1st. So come by and check out our booth. And you buy a hat, it's going to be $35, and it gets you a raffle ticket to go on a hunt with Timmy V from Northern Flight Waterfowl, and who was on the recent episode with John.
Yeah, everybody loved it, man.
Yep. Yeah. So he's going to take you and a buddy out, and we'll pay for it for you. All you got to do is buy a hat from us and get a raffle ticket, and we'll pick one lucky winner. So hope to see you guys June 1st as well for that.
Yeah, good deal, man. If I were you, I'm going to buy two off him tonight, dude. That is a hell of a deal. Two-person hunt with that guy, that the only guy that smoked him basically last year in the Valley the way he did, and good dude. So one in 50 odds, and it's entry per hat, right? So if some asshole wants to buy 10 hats, he gets 10 entries, right?
I'll give you 10 tickets if you buy 10 hats.
Pretty friggin' cool, dude. That's, I don't know a duck hunter don't like, you know, high odds gambling, so I'm going to get it on myself. And they're not officially for sale, but I could probably strong-arm this little red-headed bastard. So anyway, make sure down there, Marsh Days, to get on this, because that's a hell of a deal, man. And if you don't win, you still get a badass hat, so.
Yep. Old school duck camo with a leather patch. We'll be posting some stuff shortly so you can see them.
Yeah, kind of a diamond-shaped leather patch. Cool-looking hat, man. So anyway, with no further ado, we have Ken the Rude Gentleman from Live Oak. And where's my... Oh, that wrong one. Yeah, there we go. Yes, Ken and I have quite the short but storied history of how we met, and I actually met Ken before I met Jeremy. And it's a small world, this duck hunting community, and I wanted to get on here in the past, and it just ain't happened till today, but here you are, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me back up just a little bit. I know I get my name in the pot for the Adam Oliver taxidermy.
Yes.
I actually have a cinnamon over here I was going to show you that Adam did for me a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But I'll come out right now and say, like, I'll donate mine to a junior. Like, mine goes to a junior. We'll figure it out if that's what happens. But, yeah, mine's definitely getting donated to a junior.
That's nice of you. Yeah. That's very nice of you.
And then, Northeast opener last year, it was my first time. I was going up with some friends of mine and get all set up. And, you know, we're drinking and hanging out and eating deer salami and, you know, duck sticks. And here comes this other truck with a boat that looks pretty suspicious and pulls up right next to us. I think we were probably listening to like some David Allan Coe at the time or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was early in the evening, right? And I think we were cooking dinner. You guys had just got there. You were getting set up. We're like, hey, have shots, have beers, whatever. Here, have some salami. You know, just everybody kind of just enjoying like that opening night, right?
Yeah,
opening
exactly.
Season. And the first red flag to me, was when you were like, hey, we're going to go to dinner and I'm just going to leave my dog here in the crate. And, you know, if you think about her, like, let her out, let her go to the bathroom, she'll be just fine. We had another male dog with us. And so like, we didn't want him tangled too much. Right. You were just like, all right, we'll see you later. And you know, played with Laverne a little bit, let her out a couple of times, didn't really think of anything. We ate dinner and then we decided, to leave pretty early that evening. I don't, maybe we made it to midnight, maybe we didn't, but we went out and got set up and,
oh wow, you were on the water. That we ain't left the bar at midnight. Wow.
Right.
That's impressive.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, we're in to kind of give everybody that's listening a mental image. We're essentially in like a trailer park slips, right?
Yeah.
And then
a campground, but like a,
yeah. And then don't necessarily have a trailer, but you guys have like a couple of trucks and then like our trailer's next to that. And then like our trucks are on the other side of that. And so we had left and, you know, Laverne's out and we went hunting and, you know, came back in the morning for breakfast. I think we came back like 9 or 10, right? We were going to go to that spot and have breakfast. And when we pull up, I just remember when we pull up, you pull up to what you're expecting is like your trailer and your spot, right? And like, there's your guys' pop-up, and there's Rob's cot, and then there's like, there's a tote, and then he's got his oven on top of the tote, and then there's your truck with the bed open, and it just, it looks like a frat party. It just looks like there's random beers and bottles kind of just messed around the house. It looks like at least one person had a decent night's sleep. Can't really tell what. And again, like, dude, at that point, like, maybe we knew you were from Gridley. Maybe we'd kind of had that conversation. Like, we were from Live Oak. He's from Orland. You're from Gridley. We're all neighbors.
Yeah.
Like 3 miles away. That's cool. But I didn't, I don't even think I knew about the podcast or hadn't like put the two together. And I really wish I would have just taken a picture. I wish I would have just taken a picture and just been like, dude, like it was, I've spent many a night partying and I was thoroughly impressed. Good job. Good job.
Well, I'll do a little short recap on my version of that, which I got, you know, carried back to it. And I remember Matty Ice and Bradley set up the pop-up. And the way this works is every little campsite, you have your grass, and then everybody else got a grass. Well, they set up their pop-up and all the shit on your grass. So Jared couldn't even open the trailer door without hitting the pop-up.
Just right out the front door.
And, like, why he set up the pop-up at 1 in the morning, I have no idea. You know, it wasn't going to rain, anything like that. They got the stove out. They were cooking nothing, I can promise you that. But they set all that up, and they went to sleep there. And I was on a heap behind my truck. And then Robert came back, thank God, and he got me up. And then I opened my dog kennel, and I just crammed Laverne in the corner. I slept about half in my gunner kennel and out until, you know, 4 in the morning or something. They got me up, time to go. And then we rolled out. And I remember thinking when we came back, I was somewhat surprised by the sight that I seen too. I'm like, dude, you guys set up on their grass. We were supposed to be over there. Why did you put a pop-up of it? Is it raining? What do you, it was quite the event.
It was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining. And then I think after that weekend, I learned about the podcast and kind of went through and started listening to episodes. And then by the time I was caught up for that opening weekend podcast, I was like, man, a picture would have been worth a lot.
We'll see if we get another picture like that this year or not, but that'll be pretty funny. Oh, shit. What did you put in here? Dang.
Salami.
He shoved his meat in your cooler.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Have some of my tube steak.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you, man.
So there's a couple of venison salami.
Oh, hell yeah.
In there. Defrost them.
Yeah, thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So for the listeners, John just reached into his cooler to grab a beer. He ended up grabbing Ken's meat instead.
Yes. Yes. Very common thing I do at men's house. Especially in Live Oak. High percentage of gay men live in this town for some reason. Hmm. Probably the reason you picked her, I'm guessing. Anyway.
I'm sure that's not it.
Anyway, so that's how Ken and I first got acquainted. And that was before I even knew you. You didn't know me or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of funny. And I think you actually got my number because I was like, hey, I'm going to this CWA dinner. You know, my dog, if you need to call me because she's going crazy or something, I think that might be actually how we exchanged numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think if I remember correctly, I think maybe you guys even camped next to Jared the year before.
Yeah, because we did meet Jared the year before.
The year before,
we
right?
We ran into him at the pizza parlor down the road, yeah.
Right. And so, like, when you guys pulled up, like, he had already known you, so there was some familiarity there. And maybe it was, maybe we didn't even exchange numbers. I stalked you on Instagram.
Oh, you might have, I might have gave you a sticker or something. I don't know.
No, I didn't get the sticker until we went down south and I fell in and then the sticker got soaked and submerged, which is probably a great segue into.
That is good. We had talked about this, but I'd love to hear your version of it. And I remember Robert couldn't make it. And Jeremy had his nose way too high in the air, so he didn't go because he thought we wouldn't shoot shit. And that was probably one of the best hunts I had all year, if not the best. It was November.
That was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I would encourage people to, there's a lot of public land in California. Explore your public land. Go to the place. We obviously, all of us have places that are familiar to us and places that we like hunting. But in a year like last year, it was a great opportunity to just kind of broaden horizons.
Well, that was super early, too.
Yeah.
It was November.
Was it
fucking November.
Was it early December?
Maybe early December.
I think it was like first week in December.
We weren't running a mojo. I don't know.
That's a really good point.
Photos. I'm pretty sure it was late November.
That's a really good point. Maybe it was. Maybe we were doing November scouting for December, January hunts.
What I loved about you guys, and, you know, I knew you guys were real duck hunters. I mean, from the Northeast, too. But with that, neither one of you guys ever been there. You didn't give a fuck. Show up late as hell. They don't give a fuck. We're hunting. You're going to figure out how we're going to do it. I mean, I was there an hour or so before you guys.
Yeah.
And the dude sleeping in the checkout station, you got the friggin' lowdown. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, you can't watch before midnight. We're like, midnight? What the fuck? And I don't know. Your adventurous attitude, I really enjoyed. I thought that was so. You guys didn't have a fucking clue where we were going, what we're doing. And you're not just while you're in a boat doing this shit. And it was like.
In a boat, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Going somewhere you've never been before. What could go wrong?
And then we fucking have a great hunt. You know, so it made it even better. So anyway, I want to hear your side of all this. They already heard this months ago when I blabbed about it the week after.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it started out, actually, we had drew two different tags for similar areas, trying not to spot burn because I don't believe in that.
Oh, I love spot burn. I already did on the one before.
I know.
So we're going to have to go back.
It just eeks me every time you do. I want to text you and be like, well, dude,
in front of me, sit in your house and won't do it. But next week, hey, if you want to know where we were, just
so anyway, we had two draws for similar areas in that region.
Yeah, you both got drawn, you and Jared, right?
Correct. And neither one of us had been to the area, and so we were like, hey, let's grab a couple people each. And then we'll go down to that area. We can spend, you know, basically spend the night. And then that next morning, like, we can split up. And at least by the end of the day, yeah, we might have split up. Yeah, neither of us have any clue what we're doing. But by the end of the day, like, we're going to know, like, that whole area pretty well because we've split up.
Yeah.
In the end.
Almost more of a scouting mission at that point.
100%. Because it was still really early in the season. And it was just like, hey, what is this area about? What does it offer? In that scenario, I don't think we were able to get all four people. Everybody kept flaking.
Including Jeremy, don't forget.
I mean, to be fair, like, he was very clear up front that he was not interested.
Yeah, that he thought we wouldn't shoot.
You know,
shit,
middle of the night, on the water, that you'd never been before. I can't, like, there's...
Oh, everybody I talked to, my buddy from down that area is like, dude, you're not going to shoot shit there this time of year, man. But go ahead. I'm like, dude, we're going. So anyway, keep going. But yeah.
No, yeah. Jeremy
was not in the minority. I just like calling him out because he's sitting here. So
at the end of the day, like the only people who were down for the adventure, right, were you, me, and Jared. And so you had got down there a little bit early. I had taken the boat, picked up Jared in Sacramento, cruised on down there. I had no idea of the lay of the land, kind of knew a couple of areas that we might be able to, you know, get to, and work, you know, we get under the water, it's dark, it's kind of overcast, or, you know,
it's not perfect conditions.
It's December 2nd. I just looked it up. December 2nd, 2023.
And so just kind of finding, trying to get to, you know, the area where we wanted to park so that we could get to the area that we were hunting. And then the area that we were hunting, I clearly remember the person that I was talking to was like, hey, and so this is how this happens, is the person I was talking to that I was getting my information from was like, hey, when you get to this pond, when you get to this area, he's like, you can walk across the whole thing. It's only chest deep. And so I was like, oh, cool, that's good to know. Like, I can feel pretty confident once we get to this area that I'm only chest deep.
I mean, before that, you guys show up. I mean, you got to backtrack a little bit.
Oh, sorry,
you guys show up.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I've already drank probably six beers by the time you guys get there.
Show up.
Like, when you got there, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, right? I mean,
probably.
Maybe not that late.
No, probably it was probably, now, like, right around 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Jared was a little late, and then we probably stopped to get food.
Yeah, you guys ended up later than expected.
And then maybe took, like, the longest way around. Yeah, but get there. Like you said, banging on the refuge door.
Yeah, the dude's sleeping in there. Check station.
Dude's sleeping in there. He's like, hey. I'm like, you know, working through, talking to him about, like, hey, how does this draw operation work? He's like, you got to go down there and, you know, launch.
And it was the whole, like, launch at midnight. I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't think you'd launch at like 5. And he's like, nope, midnight, dude.
Yeah, I think it was – actually, I think it's like launch at like 2. But after going down there a couple other times throughout the year, nobody cares. Nobody cares what time you launch. Like, there's –
good to know.
Everybody's launching like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. It's kind of – once you get your ticket, it's kind of Wild West out there. But yeah, I think we had we had some repairs that we had to do on the boat, right?
Yeah.
We were doing some like 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. repairs. And then, you know, kind of tucked in for the evening.
So, yeah. You guys weren't down to drink much beer.
No. That. I was trying to get as much sleep as possible, and we were sleeping kind of set up to where, you know, we could launch at launch time.
Yeah, you were first in line. So you thought, until that fucking hick showed up with the Duramax.
And then we passed out, and next thing I know, like, his boat's, like, screaming by us, like, pulls up, stops. He gets all of his stuff out, like, unstraps his boat, unhicks his plug, like, gets ready, backs up, and I'm just talking to him. We're like, hey, what's going on?
That's 1:58 that evening.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was 1:58. That dude already left. I think he probably... He jockeyed around you, because I remember thinking, are you already here, dude? And I'm like, all right, here we go. Got my shit on and go down. And then that friggin' local hick guy,
yep,
thought he owned the place, was already jockeyed around you guys and going. And that was pretty funny. But
I'm sure some of your listeners would actually know him. I think the guy down there is sponsored by Havoc. That's probably enough information for like some of your
listeners to be like, whatever.
No, because he's down there. I know he's down there frequently. I know he launches out of there frequently. Like, I think if you hunt that area, you hunt it pretty consistently, right?
Well, you run into people, but I don't know. I just,
yeah. So it's 1:30 and we're on the water, right? We're like, fuck this. We're going to get to our spot and then we're just going to sleep in our spot.
And that was good. That was good thinking. Yeah.
And it would have been perfectly fine had I not, you know.
Yeah, so we get to our spot. We thought we might be able to boat all the way in, but it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, so we stopped. We parked. We got our stuff out. It was maybe 200 yards?
Yeah,
maybe 200, 300 yards. It wasn't far at all. There was a little beaver dam area. But, yeah, it was definitely the beaver dam area that was a little yeah, it was just deeper than I had expected, and took one step, and next thing you know,
over your waders. Over, and this my is waders. At 2. I mean, it was three in the morning.
It was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
it was 2 o'clock, and it's one of those moments, you know, that like as soon as it happens, you know what happened, and like it instantly takes your breath away. And so got out of the water, like tried to wring everything out as much as possible. I'm wearing High and Dry breathables, right? With like some decent base layers on. Nothing really thick, nothing really heavy. And I think as we were getting set up, as we were getting all the gear over for like that next hour, we're kind of getting our area set up. We're getting the decoys back. Like, that's okay. As long as I was moving, like my wool, like my merino wool was keeping me warm. That was fine. But then once that stopped, and
we tried to go to bed. I remember because I was still drunk, mind you. So.
I wasn't
driving the boat or anything for what's any new.
We tried to go to sleep, and that's when like it started kicking in. That like,
no, man, it was getting like hyperthermic. Like, yes.
And fortunately for me, Jared, the homie, had a bag of dry clothes, and he's like, "I've got a bag of dry clothes in
back of the boat.
Back of the boat, if you want to go grab it." I was like, "Fuck yeah!" And so like, I walked back to the boat, which just the walk back itself warmed me up, right? Got things moving and warmed up, and then came back and was able to get into some warm pants. And you know, the thing was, is I actually had another pair of waders in the truck. Had I been thinking that like I was going to be as uncomfortable as I was, had plenty of time to go get the waders and could have been like completely
could have
dry.
Been back long, yeah,
oh yeah, absolutely, because that was probably, there's probably a good 3 hours in there, right, where I'm just like the waders inside are still wet, so like the neoprene in my boots, yeah, like I've got dry socks on but the boots are wet, so like I'm not wearing like,
oh, that was rough on you. Thank you for not completely pussing out though.
I ended up, did I get like a plastic bag from you?
Yes.
Then wrap the plastic bag around my
homeless
feet.
Homeless guy deal. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
You guys impressed the hell out of me. That Jared dude, solid guy, and very, I mean, I don't bring, I'm a minimalist. I don't bring shit. I try to remember my gun and shells. Other than that, I ain't got a whole lot with me. And that dude, I mean, having a dry bag in the boat saved your ass and our ass, because the whole hunt could have got ruined. You know?
Yeah, 100%. That dude has incredible, just overall, like, incredible instincts.
Yeah, he's always one step ahead for everything all the time. Yeah.
Right? Like, born and raised in Live Oak, like, I don't think there's any extra curricular education there. But, man, as far
as... No, I thought he was retarded when I met him. But I mean,
you big oaf. Yeah, he's like 6'3".
Big old dude. And I mean, but he just
spectrum. Sorry,
but I mean, he's just cool as hell, and I he may be. But I mean, I would duck hunt with Forrest Gump, dude.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, no, that impressed me. He's like, I got a dry bag in the boat, and that like made it where it was bearable enough for you. I got a picture of you standing in your stretch pants or whatever you're wearing.
Yeah,
shooting ducks, you know.
You know, we get set at, like, sun's coming up. You know, it's probably like half hour, 45 minutes to shoot time. I think you and him start, you know, throwing out decoys. As the decoy bag gets emptied, right, I'm like standing on top of the decoy bag because like that gives me a little bit more room to move around. But man, like 15, 20 minutes before, like, and that was the other thing is at this point, like, we have not heard a bird at all.
Remember that? Remember thinking, not dude, I remember sitting there laying like, dude, I never had a good hunt. We ain't here shit.
Right? Like Sacramento, Delavan, Colusa, like you're in there and, you know, the night before and like you hear birds in that close zone, not a single bird.
That's a cute picture. Hell yeah. Kid on Christmas morning with his little BB gun and his pajama pants.
Yep.
He's standing on the bank where you shoot some duckies. Yep.
It was a great morning.
I remember we were all thinking the same thing. Like, motherfucker, this big debacle. Hurts.
But then like 15, 20 minutes before shoot time, like all of a sudden you hear
beep, 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 beep.
Yep. And man, they were, by the time sun came out, they were coming in like dozens. Like dozen, two dozen groups, like just right through. It was exactly what you want. I mean, I haven't been to Mexico, but I would assume that.
And
like,
I use that comparison. The landscape somewhat looks similar, obviously not the numbers, but damn near the big group just rolling in out of nowhere, bombing in. It was the closest thing I compare it to with Mexico.
Wow.
The and style of hunting.
I think some of the idea behind that hunt came from us really wanting to hunt timber.
Yeah.
Like the year prior, we were like, we really want to hunt timber. We really want to hunt timber. We kind of became familiar with some public land spots that would be available in that area that would be like that. And like, that's what we were going for. And man, dude, for a season, for a season that like had, you really had to work for your moments. That was definitely one of them.
Exactly. And that was super early on. And I'm like, man, this is the beginning. This could be the greatest year ever. And then what? But, I mean, we did start it out great. You know, that was awesome. And, I mean, we were already cool enough. And I mean, appreciate the hell. And you invited Robert, too. He had, I think it was the day of the Marysville Christmas Parade or something. Is when he couldn't make it. But, yeah, he was like, God dang it. I wish I could have went. I'm sure you did too.
But. Well, no, I just had to go back to my pictures while you guys are giving me shit for not going. And
oh, did you smoke them that day?
No, I was at a Delavan invite, so I went on a Delavan resi. That's what happened.
And then you didn't shoot shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then we went the next day, and on Lotto, and me and Jeremy, thanks to him, and an old spot that another person and him hunted, smacked them. We smacked him that day.
Well, that makes up.
So, and it was just weather related.
Yes.
Saturday sucked. Sunday was high Lotto, got the spot, smacked him more than anybody else in the area.
That's always cool when you have a shitty number and you still do it.
Yeah, because of the weather. It was really because of the weather.
Was there weather going on that next day? I don't remember that.
Yeah, so up here, I remember it was like kind of, you know, the good old El Nino overcast crappy day. And then the next day it completely flipped with a strong south wind and sunshine. And Delavan, south wind and sunshine is money. Yeah, but you got to know how to hunt certain areas. And it sounds like you guys learned how to hunt that specific area.
Just by pure shithouse luck. I mean, you got a little bit of tip from somebody and.
Yeah. But that's the point, right? Like, you don't know until you go.
No, you're the assholes out there sleeping in the fucking parking lot. Yeah, you know, damn near getting hypothermia. Yeah, you don't know until you go. And like I say, I'm so glad. I remember driving down through all them fucking valley towns, getting peer between, like, God damn, all these fucking lights. All this, like, man, we're not going to shoot shit. I can't believe I'm doing this.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, a long way from where we're from. You know, I'm like, God, ducks are up north. What the hell am I doing? And, I mean, like I say, most memorable hunt of last year. And, I mean, I feel like it, in a way, it made us, I mean, we hadn't really hung out that much before with me not being inebriated, so.
Well, and again, it was, man, I don't want to say, like, you were the last option. But there was because we had
both. Why wouldn't I be? You don't even know who the fuck I am.
Because we had both resis, I think I went through almost every possible. I went through blind partners. I went through mentors. Oh, yeah,
you're down to some asshole that does a fucking low-rent podcast in the third biggest city in
Butte County.
Top 10 podcast
in the third. And, like, worst-case scenario, we could at least use you for your boat.
Exactly. And then I didn't even take it.
See, you have something for everyone, John.
No. No, that was. I'll remember that hunt the rest of my life. And I love teal. I'll shoot them all day long. And then we got all teal. I remember there's some guys shooting. Is at the end you were getting kind of cold, but I remember Jared and I over there, and then mallards were working. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, we certainly were not expecting the volume of teal that we got that more. Like that first hour and a half was just crazy. And if I remember, like, I think we were out of shells by like 8:30, 9 o'clock, right?
Or well, maybe we weren't just there that long, because I remember Jared had to go to work, so we didn't stay as long as we could have.
Yeah.
And I remember we were working out. I remember sitting there, and that's part of what, like, that guy just impressed me. He's sitting there, and he's just fucking ate up. He's like, man, look at this, John. And, I mean, we're sitting behind that where those trees were falling, and both are wah, 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 wailing on our call, and then mallards are working. And we're like, dude, one more pass. And then
boom!
Some asshole shoots. Like, fuck.
There
and that happened two or three different times. With the mallard. So we never ended up with any mallards, but we had them.
They were definitely working.
Oh, man. Yeah. Jared's the opposite of a Sitka bro. That guy, that's a hunting motherfucker right there.
No, he is.
He wears nothing fancy, like not the brand Nothing Fancy, but shout out to Donnie Espy. Nothing like, he wears like Walmart camo.
100% Walmart Mossy Oak.
Walmart camo, has like cheapo $20 duck calls, and he calls ducks almost better than anybody else I know.
That guy's a fucking hunter.
He just knows where to go. He's sick for it. He scouts. He's always out there as much
and
as he can.
I mean, he's ate up with it. I mean, he's the type of hunter I like.
Jared, I look up to you, bud.
Incredible instincts.
Yes. Even though he's slightly retarded, he is a badass duck hunter, dude.
He's got a pet turkey, too.
But, of course he does. Yeah.
A couple pet ducks. You want a turkey? You want some ducks? No, I'm serious.
He's trying to get rid of them.
He'd take them.
I'm all right. I got enough pets with me and my damn cats. But
anyway, segue into turkey.
Oh, yeah. Here we are in a turkey.
So
that's how Ken and I became acquainted. And, you know, we tried to get you on earlier. Just scheduling is always a pain in the ass.
Well, yeah, you're... Especially during season, right? You're kind of weighing the options. Like, do I want to hunt or do I want to talk to this guy about hunting?
Well, I mean, I don't do podcasts in the morning, so it's an afternoon. It's hard. It's so hard to schedule it. Jeremy's getting to understand a little bit about this. We talk to like ten different people at all times about pegging it down. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we've talked before too about potential guests, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely some people in the area.
Oh, yeah, that one guy flaked on me. I won't say his name, but fuck that guy. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get him on again.
Anyway, he's going to have to write me an apology letter before that. But
You
might want to text that guy and say, hey, you can say, hey, sorry or no, but when you ghost me, I got two middle fingers for you because I'm an old man, so, like, communication isn't the same way these children do it, and... Yeah, I texted him and just crickets, and it's like, all right, motherfucker.
Oh no, I'll talk to him. We'll see what's.
Yeah, you better make sure. It'd be a good guess.
There'd be some other guest that would
I'm
be.
I'm sure he don't know how to write cursive because he's probably too young. But his apology letter should be in very neat
print.
Hand print if he can't do cursive because, yes, well,
there you go.
Anyway,
circling
back to we talked about turkey for half a second there, but. Ken got a start in hunting a little bit out in Amador County a little bit. Turkey hunting, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess that's a good way to kind of talk about the turkey or the hunting introduction overall. So I didn't start out hunting when I was a kid or a junior. All my kids hunt. The kids, you know, are all licensed in the house now. But I didn't start. I was like adult onset hunter.
Yeah.
Did not start hunting until I was 30. Didn't get my hunting license until I was 30. And started with turkey and turkey season. And, man, my dad's love for turkey hunting definitely was passed on.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because, man, this spring turkey, spring thunder, You get them spitting and drumming. You get them working in. You get them gobbling from like the other hillside to where you can hear them like running in. Now. Like, holy, yeah, that's good stuff right there.
So that's how you got into hunting, which.
Yeah, and they, for the longest time, you know, my parents or my family on both sides comes like four generations from Amador City, so they're very familiar with the area. And then my parents' house on God's Hill backed up to, you know, 200-300 acres that we were able to, you know, have private access to. So it's almost like your own personal hunting refuge, right?
Yeah.
And as much as it's just nice to have, man, that piece of ground taught me a lot. Because the birds were always smarter than I was. The deer were always smarter than I was. And so, you know, there was definitely a learning curve there. But at the same time, it's also nice to be able to go and to have a place where, you know, you're not going to be bothered. Right. I think.
Hell yeah.
Spring turkey on public land. I mean, Jeremy got two this year, three last year on public land, and man, that's
a big deal. You ain't bragged about that enough either, motherfucker.
Nah, I don't need to.
Yeah, that's
just me in the freezer.
that's pretty impressive. That's a definitely just takes skill, right? Like, there's a lot of patience. There's a lot of calling. You got to deal with other people.
Well, he reaped one too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time and a place to be aggressive on public and private, and you really have to know on public when to be aggressive and when not to be.
Yeah,
and
you have to know the land. You know you're the only one out there in the landscape.
You have to know the landscape, and you have to know bird patterns in order to do it.
But I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but I mean, he reaped a turkey. I never reaped a fucking turkey.
Do you haven't?
What's wrong with you? Three or four of them.
Maybe that's why you're not getting turkey.
I mean, I would do the Annie Oakley stuff with a mirror and shit like that and shoot by my head.
I was thinking about that the other day. You actually shot a bird with a gun over your shoulder looking through a mirror through the sights.
No. I fake up phony shit all the hell. I do that. I'm just saying. That would be cool, but what I meant by that is that it got, at one point, like, you know, 7-8 years ago, somewhat so easy that I did interesting things to make it more challenging.
More challenging.
But no, not quite the Annie Oakley shot or the reaping thing.
Yeah.
Which that would have been a great property to reap on. But so anyway, you're a turkey killer.
I really enjoy my turkey hunting, and I will turkey hunt all season. You know, and hunting overall, right? I don't know. I know there's part of like this community that loves to post and loves the gratification. But I think a lot of times for me, it's like, it's that moment of getting out of the truck and it's still dark outside and you've got your gun and you're going to go hike somewhere for a mile, maybe 2 miles in the middle of the night. That right there.
And ooh. The optimism. Nobody gets out of the truck like, man, this is going to be a shitty day. I've been up since 4 a.m. No, it's all, you're always optimistic.
Yeah, you know? And maybe that going back to like that teal hunt, like maybe, you know, that's like the meat that makes that teal hunt so good is like you're, you know, we're out in the middle of the night. We're, you know, we've got all of our stuff. We're ready to hunt. We're going somewhere we've never been before. Like there's so many opportunities. There's so many, you know, possibilities there that like who
you don't
knows
even
what
know. Hey, we're yeah. in, and like I mean we're like Lewis and Clark on that fucking river, dude. We had no idea where we're going. You know what I mean?
Might have some hit a couple shitty little river.
Yeah, well, we don't know. We ran into a couple things and shit. I mean, we're in the middle of fucking nowhere to us.
Yeah, little fog over that water.
Oh yeah, it's foggy. I mean, yeah. I'll put a couple of these pictures up when I post this episode. But yeah. Exactly, and then it paid off for us that day, and that you're always looking for that day. Some days you come back with nothing, but I mean, when you're like you said, when you're getting out of the truck, it's like, man, today is the day, dude.
You and know? It's dark, and you've got that hike in front of you, and you're like, okay, this is my hunt. This is how I'm going to do it. And you get set up, and you're watching that sunrise. I mean, that's yeah. So about, as far as turkey's concerned, like we worked the river systems around here, like as much as we could public land wise. And then as it goes for those birds, like they were one El Dorado County, the other two Amador County, and all public or all private land.
Nothing wrong with that. That's where my turkey hunting comes from. But I mean, you're still shooting a wild bird, But yeah, it is a little bit easier than dealing with all the friggin' Hicks and Olivers or something, you know.
And there's years at this point, right? Like there's a little bit more than a decade to like patterning some of those birds.
Yeah, exactly. Very relatable.
With the last bird that I got, which is probably my best bird in like a couple of years. That was the last day. The last Saturday of season.
And it was raining like crazy.
Pouring rain. Oh my God. Well, and like the turkeys overall, like I think we were talking about this before on the phone. Like I think there was a total of two Saturdays that it wasn't raining.
Yep.
The first Saturday of the year, the third Saturday, all of the Saturdays were raining. It seemed like the toms were staying bunched up. Right, which usually you'll have your boss Tom and you'll have all the hens that stick with him.
Damn, the satellite.
But then you have your satellite guys that are just kind of like roaming the ridge tops, and like those are the guys that you end up hunting. But it just never seemed like there was a couple of days where it got warm right towards the end of the season. But for the most part, it just seemed like everything stayed bunched. Like it was too cold, it was too wet. They just stayed bunched together.
Exactly, but you still got three, so. Pretty friggin' impressive, dude.
It was a lot of time. I think there was at least one point in the season where I might have gotten accused of just taking days off.
Oh, so you took a lot of weekdays off to do this too.
Well, overall, like the ladies, like, are you really going hunting or are you just like going out of town for 2 days? Like, what's going on here? I'm like, no, I'm honestly hunting. I promise.
Yeah, because people that don't understand, but yeah. Well, I talked to you about fishing, I'm like, because I got, I knew my turkey spot kind of, it's not what it was. I'm like, I kind of lost interest a little earlier. And they're like, hey, my whole mind's on turkey right now. I can put you in a boat. I ain't going to guarantee you're going to catch a fish. But that's what you told me. And, you're right. And you kept right to the end. And you got, last rainy-ass day, Saturday of the season, you got three. So.
Yeah, that was I was very blessed. I just really, it was funny too, because that particular bird, I was just going to check out like one more spot before I turned around and kind of went back to some private that I have access to in like Roseville, Placerville area. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to check this one more spot and then probably grab a drink and turn around and drive for an hour and hunt the rest of the afternoon out. And that'll be my season. Yeah, and it just worked out. And that guy was in a pack of maybe like 12.
And you pulled him out of it?
Just from like where he was to where they were working. The pack kept going one way and he just stayed right where he was at.
Really?
Yep.
So what kind of decoys you run? Do you run, because I'm like low rent turkey hunter. I purposely use the cheapest garbage shit you could buy. I have a $4 call when Long Drugs is going out of business that I bought on clearance. You probably know what Long Drugs is,
dude. No, I do. My grandma used to get prescriptions from them back in the day.
Grandma, you stop there. And I purposely like low rent when it comes to my turkey hunting.
Oh man,
what's your approach with it?
I can geek out on this. How much time we got? What time is it?
People like to hear it. So, are you a bro? You got the badass decoys.
He's got nice shit.
So, and again, like hunt with what you have, right? Like, there's plenty of times where this was the first year that I upgraded to like some lacrosse knee boots, right? So neoprene knee boots. First year in 14, 15 years of turkey hunting where I don't have wet socks. Oh. It was amazing. It was absolutely an amazing experience to not have wet socks while turkey hunting. So if you don't have them, get yourself a pair of good boots. As far as calls go, the call that I've probably killed the most with is this little, maybe 3-inch Primo slate call that comes in probably like a $20 starter pack.
Yeah.
The old hen, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that
just,
call.
It's a small call. It's a slate call. And I don't know, maybe it was because it was the first call that I got and that's the one that I'd practiced the most with.
Yeah.
But I would say like 90% of my birds are on that call.
Really?
I upgraded this year. I was very fortunate able to make some upgrades this year. I upgraded to a Mossberg 500 20 gauge.
Nobody's ever said they've upgraded to a Mossberg 500.
No, that is exactly what
I, it's a badass gun though.
That is exactly what I wanted. That was like what I'd had my eyes set on for a while. I was really thinking about like just building one, and the way that this one came from the store with the, you know, the Hollow Sun red dot. The short barrel with the extended choke, the camo pattern, the 20 gauge, it was everything I was looking for. So I rocked that this year. It did wonderful. TSS is amazing. I'm sure if you're
TSS
shooting,
is
you have to shoot TSS.
I'd have loved to shot something.
Yeah. And
I got a whole five pack.
Number 9, 20 gauge. I killed one at 64 yards this year.
Pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah. Number 9.
I got a five pack sitting in my pickup door that never got shot at nothing.
Hey, next year. There you go.
Maybe next year. Maybe I'll get hard up for beer and sell them.
I upgraded to, so before this, I just used a backpack and then like a sitting pad, like a butt pad, right?
Oh, so you had the, yeah, you were like a real turkey on it though.
This year I upgraded to a vest. There's a lot of options out there as far as vest is concerned. I went with
talking
that.
A lot about your fucking comforts, dude. I don't give a fuck how you feel.
No,
what are you doing for your spread, dude? Do you use a tent or no tent? Are you a lean against the tree guy?
Oh, 100% lean against the tree.
Okay, I can get that.
And then decoys. I've done everything as far as decoys go. I've had like the cheap Primo collapsibles where you can just kind of roll them up and throw them in the backpack. Yeah. This year I'm doing,
yes. I still have them. He gave them to me.
They work.
I got newspapers from 2009 shoved in mine, making them look fatter. Yeah.
There you go. And holds the body out.
Yep.
This year I upgraded to a DSD feeder hen though.
Oh, dang.
It's really pretty. I really like it. I can't honestly tell you though that it helped me kill any of the birds this year. You know, and the guy I bought it from, I bought it off of Facebook Marketplace. He, you know, worked Cal Fire down in Sacramento. He goes to like Idaho, Washington, and maybe Montana for turkey hunting.
Really?
I'm like, dude, that guy really likes turkey hunting, on public land. Right. And in talking to him about it, he's like, hey, I've never taken this DSD out. I've never hunted over it because he's hunting that big ground. And so he's running gun, right? And that's the great part about the vest is the vest, you know, you've got your slate calls, you got your box calls, you got your water, everything's ready to go, right?
So no mouth call?
I can't. I don't know how. I'm not at, like Arthur, my cousin, his stepdad, just nails it. I'm
not very good at it either.
For the record,
it makes me gag.
For the record, Arthur will pull out a turkey call when we're goose hunting and try and just fuck with us the whole time.
Really?
And I'll be lilik, 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 and he'll be just like and laying in the socks or whatever, but
with the turkey call.
Yeah. Because that's all he can do and call with. I'm sure I'll get a text tomorrow about this, but love you.
No mouth calls. I wish I could mouth call.
Yeah, same. I don't use one.
We did one year we used those shake. I have probably like three or four of those like shake gobbler calls. Tried like probably every brand of those. Those don't work. I wouldn't recommend investing in those at all.
Did you see that video of that news lady who like was like, oh, is this how you do it? And she puts it up to her mouth and like jerks it off into her mouth.
I did see that. Yes, I did see that. Everybody's like, whoa. Yeah, so it's like nobody told her to do that. She just naturally got it.
That's not what that's for.
She just saw a big black rubber thing and just put it up to her face.
I'm looking for a gal like that. Anyway, so are you going to start fishing now?
I'd like to. I think my fishing buddies just broke his trolling motor.
Nick.
Sorry. So hopefully he's able to get that resolved here shortly.
So you don't got a boat.
Here, hold on. No, I don't. No, that's why you got invited.
I didn't take my boat.
I know, but that was part of like the original thing, right?
I remember you telling me I need to bring my boat.
That, and then you know, it just ended up that like we had some people flake, and then we just boiled it down to one boat, and that's kind of how the whole thing worked out. But, well, hold on, before we switch over before we switch over to fishing, you obviously turkey hunt.
Yeah.
You've hunted turkey for a while.
Yeah.
As did Jeremy. What's your favorite way to prepare your turkey?
I like doing the legs, which everybody never talks about. I'll put them in the crock pot, cook them down, and do just tacos that way. Put a bunch of Mexican spices and shit in them. Do the crock pot. And then the breast, which is the hella white trash way to do it, is I cube them up, bread them, fry them, make nuggets.
Okay.
That's how I do the breasts.
Okay. What about you, Jeremy?
John was over at my house, and I made those legs exactly how I said. Slow cooked it for 6 hours.
Is that what we're eating?
Yeah, those are turkey legs.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, those are turkey legs. I slow cooked them for 6 hours and then made a bunch of
I thought it was some meat you bought at the store.
No, nope, those are the turkey legs of the birds that I shot this year.
He don't brag about himself enough.
No. Ken's mom makes the best turkey enchiladas.
Really?
Those are one of my favorite Mexican foods I've ever had in my whole life was her turkey enchiladas.
Those were really good.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ken's mom's enchiladas are better.
So, and that's probably one of my favorite. I mean, obviously, because mom makes it, right? Mom makes it. It's like automatically 25% better. But she would take a turkey and then, put it like basically hot brine it, right? You get one of those large outdoor Dutch ovens that you'd like fry a turkey in, right?
Yeah.
And she put, water in there with broth and, celery, whatever else, cook it in there for, 20, 30 minutes until it was done, pull it out, wait for it to cool. And then she'd fork pull the whole thing.
Oh.
And then after she fork pulled the whole thing, then she would do her enchilada prep and she'd put all of the enchiladas in like those aluminum tins.
Yeah.
And then it was great because then you just had like the stack of enchiladas in your freezer. And then throughout like the summer,
just take a couple or,
well, like on Sundays, right? Like you'd just take one pan out, like you'd warm it up because they was already cooked. So you just have to warm it up to, melt the cheese. And then you had a pan of enchiladas in the refrigerator for the rest of the week. If, lunch or snack or dinner or whatever you wanted, like it's just, oh man. Those turn out really good. And it's not I don't think your way is like the poor man or the white trash way.
That was good.
Yeah, like schnitzel. The only difference that I'll do in that scenario is when I'm taking that breast, I'll just pound it out.
You got to pound it out.
Right?
And I just pound it out before I make the nuggets.
There you go. Yeah.
I do that with geese too.
Yeah, so you pound it out, get like nice level, even.
Get them, tough spots out of it.
Yeah, and then you're just, cutting that into strips and breading it, frying it.
And I made some turkey jerky, too, in the past.
Oh, really?
And it's been good, yeah.
Have you ever taken the cutlets out, too, the basically the pec minor of that bird, and you take it on the underside, and you take the fork, and then you take that big tendon out with the fork, and then you pound that, and then you bread it, and it's super, super tender. It's just a cutlet.
Really? Mm-hmm. I never did that.
Yep. That's how I do mine. I put in the air fryer and then just make nuggets out of that. You're
very educated about this stuff.
Meat Eater Cookbook.
Really?
The Meat Eater Cookbook has saved me so many times. I just made striper ceviche this week.
Oh my God. Oh, how's that?
I put too much onion in it.
Okay.
Made a little too oniony, but Nick, the guy who we just talked about, who snapped his shaft of his trolling motor, who can't go, he took me out fishing a couple weeks ago and we caught limits pretty quick and took everything home and gave me his fish because he goes pretty much every day and had four, decent sized 24 plus inch stripers that we made food out of. And I fried them up. I smoked some and then I made ceviche out of three different fillets. And I had it with like cilantro, onions, tomatoes. You could put avocado in there. And I got like, I think it was like 8 limes or 10 limes worth of juice and then let it sit for like 4 hours and it basically just cooks it in lime juice with the acidity.
Yeah.
And then you add all the other stuff besides the onion and the striper fillets and then just let it sit. And I put it on like I made tostadas out of it. With like, you just get like tortillas and then you just put them in the oven and then you make them all hard.
I love how you try to talk Mexican too, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm trying to be cultured.
You redheaded bastard.
I'm sure Ivan's just cracking up right now. He's laughing at his radio.
You should try and hear John say the filthy spoon in Spanish. Then you'll laugh even more.
No. That sounds awesome because that ceviche, I had it in Mexico. Dude, it was so freaking good.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, you're quite the rounded guy, man.
I mean... Try to be. I like learning about things. It's fun.
Yeah, I'll teach you something. You want to go for a ride in the woods?
No, thank you. When you put it like that.
Kidding. Anyway, so I want to talk some fishing now. You just
broke You went out with Casey the other day in the rain.
It was in rain. We booked a trip with him a while back, the owner of the company, Superior, and he pushed out because of the rain. And
he didn't even go?
It was pouring that day.
I didn't care, dude. I've been on a striper kick for a while, and I'm like, I don't care. And so he flaked, and so I was able to talk to other guys, and, you know, Casey was gracious enough to take three of us instead of full boat. And we knew it was raining. It was raining when we got there, but it wasn't bad. And we went out. We fucking caught the shit out of fish. We did get a couple cells that came through. Like, we are extremely fucking wet. I mean, it was torrential for just a couple minutes. Not a big deal. It's like, I'm a duck hunter, dude.
So, like, when those cells roll through and you're on the water, are you anchoring up? Are you hunking it over?
We're just fishing? Friggin' drifting swim baits, dude.
So you're still chucking swim baits in the rain the whole time, and they're still eating it in the top part of the water column.
Yeah. Wow. And it was kind of funny the way it worked with us anyway. It was super productive early on, and then we sat on 9 fish. Tim was our limit, and we sat on 9 fish for a minute. And that 10th one sometimes does that with ducks. It took us a little while to get that 10th one.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I don't know, the way he did it and his methods, and I don't know, I was extremely happy with it, you know. I'd recommend anybody go with him, and I had a good time, awesome time. The guys had a good time. We were soaked, but my waders are still back at Chin Gear. Hopefully I get a new pair at some point.
Oh, this is great. I've been meaning to bring this up. Okay, so you're a Chin Gear person, right? And yours are
no,
yours
no.
are or you have you
I
have
own Chin Gear.
You yes. own Chin Gears and they're out, right?
Yeah, yeah. They let me down
on the warranty, yeah. And then Jeremy
Shitka.
Sitka's, right? And for the longest time, we've always heard about how amazing Sitka's warranty is, right? And over the past 3 years, I have been rocking this pair of breathable high and dry waders.
High and dry, by the way, with an N apostrophe, not high and dry for the other previous company I worked for.
Yeah, we're not concerned about that one.
It's now hella dry.
Right. So anyway, so I've got these high and dry waders, right? Last year, I don't think I had a hunt throughout the year where like at least one sock wasn't damp, right? Yeah. And by the end of the year, like it's been a better year this year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to break down and I'm just going to get some Sitkas for next year. And so as I was putting everything away at the end of the season, I had my high and dry waders and I was one step away from putting them into the junk pile, right?
Really?
Yeah, I was just going to throw them into the junk pile, just be done with them. I got a solid 3 years out of them, beat the piss out of them this past year. I felt I got my money's worth, right? I was like, you know what? Let me see what happens here. And so, you know, I have them on Instagram, right? And so I just messaged them on Instagram. I was like, hey, I've got these waders. They're way past warranty, but I do like them. And instead of like throwing them away, I just thought I'd reach out and see, you know, what you guys would charge me to repair them. Like this is not a warranty issue.
Yeah, you're not bitching.
Like, I'm very happy with the product. I totally understand. Like we're outside of warranty. And I think I even had bought them used to begin with.
Oh shit.
And so they like walked me through the process. They were like, here's the tag. We'll let you know how much the service will be once we get them. I was like, when should I know? He's like, give us like 30 days or something like that. Right. So send out the waders. They confirm receipt of the waders. 30 days later.
Brand new pair?
No, I've got fixed waders.
Oh, they fixed them.
Yeah. So $300 breathable waders, high and dry. I've got them. Chin Gear, you don't have your waders. Sitka Gear, you don't have your waders.
Oh, yeah.
High and dry for the win.
Well, what they told me was I had a small pin leak. I think I had it close to 45 days last year, and I had a small pin leak on the last weekend of the season out of the rear of where my Achilles tendon is on my boot, and it was just enough to make me put on a garbage bag for the last couple of days. It wasn't a big deal, right? So I just put on a garbage bag and dealt with it, and you know, whatever. I'll send them back after. And I talked about it, sending them back to the guy, and they just emailed me back. Here's a reference to our YouTube video that we put out for everybody to just get some $9 Aqua Seal and then patch it yourself.
Yeah.
And so what they basically say is, if it's 3 to 4 inches in a major area as a tear of like your crotch or something like that, that's when they say to send them back. But if it's under 3 inches, they say to try and patch them yourself. But
that's what I did to my buddy.
But you can try and patch them yourself, and it does not void the
that
warranty.
That is a fact.
Yeah. So the thing is like, if it's a major boot rip or something like that, you still have to pay for them. Pay for the boots and then pay for the fix.
Yeah, it's all phony, this lifetime warranty bullshit.
But I got mine used as well, and the guy said that he maybe used them for 8 hunts, and then I put another 50 into them, and I had a small pinhole leak in a seam. Like, that's going to happen.
No matter. Exactly.
So, like, they have 50-plus days on them, and I don't baby them. They stay in my truck from November through January.
Yeah.
February, actually. I don't clean them unless I spray them off with the hose and I throw them right in the back of my truck or inside my cap.
Yeah.
So I don't baby them at all. And then they're just hanging up in my garage now, and I'll probably bring them inside for when it gets hot outside. I don't want it crack in the garage.
I've had that happen.
So I'll just put them in. I'll just bring them inside and just hang them up in a closet, just like clothes. And that helps out. But other than that, I just put a little bit of dab of Aqua Seal on it, and it's fine. So I can understand why they don't want to process all those things, and then I don't have waiters for 3 months because there are so many people buying them and they have such a demand of fixing them. I understand that, and they just say use Aqua Seal, and it works. So give and take, right? Like, I'm not waiting on them, but it was an easy fix, and I paid like $9 for a product to fix them, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it just, the whole lifetime warranty is kind of bullshit. Shin Gear did somewhat take care of me. Except for they did some hokey ass, like put super glue on a split boot and sent it back to me. And I knew it wasn't going to work and took a picture before they claim. And then I talked to, I think, the owner's wife, actually. And she said, look, here's the deal. We would have gave you a new pair of waders, but we don't have any. And they don't fix their shit. They're all made in the, you know, land of China by communists.
Right.
So they don't actually fix them there like Sitka does or your high and dry stuff. So that's kind of, but they, I guess they're building, you see that they're building some new place in Arkansas now. They must have took advantage of a bunch of guys like me and was able to buy a big building in Arkansas.
They are.
There you go.
Very good at marketing.
Maybe they're going to be assembled in America or something. I don't know.
Well, I get they're all made overseas, but like they have zero capabilities of repairing them there other than putting bicycle tube patches on boots and shit. And that's kind of like, come on, dude. They sent that back to me. That's my only beef with them. So I don't, like, hate their guts yet, but we'll see what I get back. Because I sent them to them in February, and I have not.
That's, or May?
What's that?
Yeah. Or May.
But I understand how it works. And Sitka's the same way. They build them all. They're all made overseas.
Right.
They build them, and then they're going to
assemble them both.
Yeah, so
Montana.
I'll probably get them in, like, July or August. And that's fine. I don't need them right now. I could have used them last Saturday, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm like, because I was thinking, if I had my waders, I would have just wore them today. And then Casey sees the guys at the partner, and he's like, look at that motherfucker's wearing waders. You know, I'm like, oh, God, if I had mine, I probably would have been one of them assholes.
No, I went on a fishing trip. One of my buddies goes out of the Golden Gate sometimes, Captain Kyle Dreyer for the Lady K and the Diamond out of Fish Emeryville. And I asked him the one time I went with him, I was like, hey, do I wear waders up here? Because I grew up duck hunting with them on my boat that I have.
Yeah.
We always just wore waders in the boat. I didn't think anything of it. And I was figuring we were going to be at some, you know, we're at sea, wear waders. Yeah. And he's like, do not wear waders on my boat. And the reason why, he's like, one, you're going to look like an idiot. Two, if you go overboard, your waders are going to fill with water and you're going to fucking sink.
Yeah.
So he wears bibs. So I highly recommend bibs if you want to stay dry and just wear muck boots under them, which I think I'm going to make the switch for turkey next season because I was tired of my pants.
The only thing is they're hot, man. When it's like, you know, later in the year it's wet, but they're hot. The one muck boots I got anyway.
No, I mean, you got those.
I probably got the same ones you got.
The lacrosse ones are amazing.
Yeah, I think it's the Alpha Burley Pro.
Lacrosse insulated. Their waders are good too. I mean, be honest, if I ended up, you know, wanting Shin Gear dead, I'd probably get Lacrosse.
Yeah.
I don't know. They make good stuff, you know.
So does Frog Togs, too. That's where Casey rocks.
Oh, yeah. And then he goes and throws them on the floor at Kittles and grabs another pair and walks out. They look at him like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna make the switch to more waterproof stuff next turkey season like Ken did because I went out late season, and everything overgrew. so much from the beginning. Well, because it was all that rain, and then we had like 4 or 5 days of just like heat.
Yeah.
And so,
sunshine, rains all week and then sunny all week. And of course, show up a week later, shit's freaking 14 inches tall.
No, it within a week, some things grew like 1 to 3 feet.
Yeah.
I was walking through some areas that are like, this was knee high last week and it's now chest high.
Exactly.
And I got just soaked just walking through an area.
Yeah.
Let alone even seeing a bird in that stuff, just walking through it and going from one place to the other. And I was literally just belt down, just wet. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm wearing normal Sitka mountain pants that I deer hunt in when I turkey hunt. And then I just wear muck boots over that. Some cheapo redheads from Bass Pro.
Yeah.
And like, I think next year I'm going to get the goose hunting bibs and wear those when I turkey hunt.
Probably not a bad idea. Yeah. Especially after this year. Now we'll have a dry turkey season for a decade.
Who fucking knows?
Who knows?
Well, and that's like the year, what was it? Last year, the year before, where it was pretty dry, so it's probably 2 years ago. I think there was turkeys strutting at the end of February, right? Yeah,
that was 2 years ago.
And you got exactly like it's turkey strutting in the beginning or the end of February, and you have at least like another 30 days, and then it was on probably the exact opposite of this season, right? Where like by the time season started, that they were already bred out. Like
yeah, they're already sitting on eggs. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think I shot a bird that year. It was tough.
I think I got one 2 years ago. I didn't get one last year, but yeah. But I mean, that was before. I don't know what happened to my place. It just, their roost area, they moved out of there.
That's nice. One of the public places that me and Kenan both hunted, which is the reason why he got lacrosse boots, because the one day that we went out 2 years ago, opening day.
Yeah, and just years, honestly, man, like years of it. It's not just there. Like, there's been hunts with my dad. There's been hunts with Amelia, like, where, you know, you hike a mile and a half, and you get to set up, and like, sweet, my boots are soaked and my socks are wet.
I was told growing up, I think my grandpa told me this, there's three things that you should never go cheap on. Shoes, because you're on your feet all the time. Mattresses, because you sleep 1/3 of your life, and helmets, if you're going to wear a motorcycle helmet or a skateboard helmet.
That especially applies to you. I could see why he would tell you.
It's too far to gone make sure already. Yeah.
Spend extra on the helmet.
Yep. I came with one after I came home from the hospital when I was a little kid, but as you can see how tiny my head is now.
Now they like try to reshape kids' heads. If you got a little bump in it, they can put them little.
Yeah, I just had a coworker who had her daughter have a surgery on that today alone.
Really?
Apparently, she's golden. She's 3 years old, but
yeah, it's a rich white people problem. That's for sure. Yeah,
freaking white people, man.
Yeah. Anyway, do we got anything else to talk about?
I got three questions. We got three questions.
We don't. You're not very good about talking yourself up. You know, I want you guys to know, Jeremy did get 2 turkey on public ground, and he reaped one. And I see the assholes on the internet, but I've never talked to anyone that's actually reaped one. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, I'll go into detail of that.
I'm going to twist your arm there.
So this first bird I shot this season was I wouldn't say a right place at the right time. It was a trust the scout. And I'm heavy into trusting the scout. And I try to put birds to bed after work. Like, if I know that I'm going to hunt on a Saturday morning, yeah, I'm after work, I'm going to go to that spot or that area that I at least intend to, one or two of them, and I'm going to walk around, or if that area allows it, I'm going to ride my bike, and I'm going to cover as much ground as possible, and if I see something, I'm putting it to bed. I'm watching it go to the roost. That way I know where to hunt the next day.
No, smart.
Idealistically. Did that happen once this season? Fuck no. Yeah. The one spot that I was just referring to where we hunted opening day a couple years ago that I went to recently twice, mm-hmm. The roost for the past 4 years that I've hunted there has been out of the same 2 trees for 4 years now.
Right.
So it's like, I just know when to show up and what tree to sit under.
Yeah.
This year it was all hens under the tree. One day it was 8 hens in 1 tree.
Really?
I didn't hear a gobble the whole day.
Wow.
Yep. So either all the birds got shot up, or which I'm thinking, because turkeys are what did I call them? Not a renewable resource. They're a diminishing resource. Like there's only a certain amount in the area, and once they're all shot up,
well,
or they leave,
so dumb because they do get shot easy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hear gunshots every time I go out.
Exactly.
So,
you know,
I'm just not.
They almost went extinct 100 years ago.
Yeah. So. Well, they're so dumb, but they're so smart. That's why I love them so much.
That's what's cool about them. They do get wily, but I mean, some white trash asshole can figure out how to kill them pretty easily. So.
Yeah. Well, the first part of the season was kind of that. I was in one spot where I trusted the scout at, and this was opening day. Opening Sunday. And I was scouting a lot in that area the week before. And I find it. I'm like, cool, I'm hunting here opening day. Like, this is the spot.
Yeah.
And I pull up, and I'm out there with everybody else. And, you know, we're all in the same area. We get there all about the same time. And I go back farther than anybody else, right? And I was listening to podcasts for CWA. And they had one of those turkey guys on recently. And they were like, statistically, if you go back farther away from the parking lot than anybody else, you'll have more success. Just blatantly, that's what
that
he
makes
said.
Makes sense. Yep. I agree. Get away.
So I'm 4 miles away from the parking lot.
Wow.
And
Jesus.
Like, that's minimum usually where I start. And so I get out there, and there's a private road that goes to this area between two units, or the public and then the private, right? And so there's a private road that goes through. And I pull up, and I'm like, sweet, no one else falling back here. I didn't see any other headlamps. I'm golden. I have this like 1 mile stretch to myself because no one's going to go this back far,
yeah.
Or far back this far. I pull up, and I see a dark Chevrolet Silverado come down this road. And I'm like, oh, it's the game warden, because that's what they have up here.
Yeah.
These, you know, slate gray Chevys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way he didn't, because he literally came to this area, that the fence where I was at, made a U-turn, and then parked. And I was like, there's no way he didn't see my headlamp. So I'm just going to be like, all right, I'm legal. Nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
I got checked 8 times last year.
Huh.
I get checked all the time.
More than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
And I've never had an issue. Besides that one time, but I was 18. That's a different story. and so I just walk up to him, and I'm like, hey, how's it going, sir? And he's like, what the fuck?
Why
like,
are you bothering
why me? Why are you bothering me? And I was like, are you the game warden? He's like, no. And I was like, why are you down this private road? And he's like, are you hunting over here? And I was like, yeah, I'm set up like 150 yards that way. Or I was about to be set up. And he's like, all right, I'll go over there. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you got to walk back here like everybody else. You can't just drive it on and walk, drive your park truck right here on this private road. If you're the fucking, I'm thinking all this, I'm not saying this
yes,
to him.
I would.
And and I'm like, you can't just drive it on this private road and then hunt the public like that. If you're the private guy that owns this, hunt your damn land, because they're on your land. I'm trying to pick one off coming over. and so I'm like, whatever. So I go and set up, and he drives down a little bit out of the way, parks, and then I see him walk the other direction from me, and I'm like, great. So what I thought was going to be a nice cakewalk.
That's probably when you walk too far, you run into more, you know,
maybe
civilization.
And so he goes over, and you know, it's raining opening day. And I had two hens walk through the decoys, which I just put up a little edit today on my Instagram. That there's a video of those two hens walking through the decoys. And I was like, cool, I would have, if these were toms, that they would have been at 10 yards dead. They had no idea I was there, and I was sitting up against the tree.
I remember that video.
Sitting up against the tree wearing my Left Coast Waterfowl Hex Timber hoodie pattern that I made.
I loved it, man. Only hoodie I wear.
Ken
hate hoodies.
Ken shot his birds this year wearing it as well. He just didn't post any pictures.
I know, dude. He's such a rude guy, man.
Anyway, the rude gentleman. So it works. The pattern works, by the way. I shot all my birds this year wearing it. And
well, that badass pattern.
Thank you, sir. I made that. I'm very proud of it. And, so I was sitting up against the skinny little oak tree, nothing in front of me. I found that the little blind, the pop-up blind that I had, birds didn't like. I had really? Another situation later in the middle of the season, and I had a group at like 85, 90 yards that I ranged them at, and they were kind of just bebopping around, a group of Jakes. And I was, you know, thinking maybe there's a tom in there somewhere, and you call over the hen, and if you get the hen to come, they'll all follow.
Yeah.
So she's making her little like...
Yeah.
Little putts and whatnot. So I start mimicking her, and she gets all pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
So then she starts to like flank me around the other side. She goes around these bushes, but these birds are all hung up because like they see like this little blind that I have in front of me. and they just it's not natural enough for them. So I notice is just sitting up against a tree and just putting your legs in the tall grass is the most efficient. So anyway, back to the opening day story. Basically, that guy that parked his truck shot a bird at 8:30 in the morning in the rain, coming across the area that I thought that they were going to come across to me at. So of course, and it was like the Tom that I scouted. So I go back. Then he was a rope dragger for sure. So I go back the next day at the same spot. And I get beat out there by, mind you, I'll just straight up say, you can't be in this area 2 hours before sunrise. So, spot burn.
Oh, yeah, it happened. Every year, dove season, somehow it's all out there.
So, 2 hours before sunrise, I get there, you know, I put my stuff on, I'm basically waiting to go out, and there's already a car parked, and no one's in it. And I get there, you know, where you when you should get there.
Yeah.
And so, they're already out there. And on the way out there, that same morning I'm walking out, this is opening Sunday now, I'm walking out there and I get passed by a guy on a bike, can't have bikes in this unit. So I'm like, awesome. So now I'm just going to go this way now. And there's already one guy up here that I already know they're up there, because I'm walking in, I see no other headlamps at all. And I'm like, they have to be where I'm going. Right. Yeah. So I go out there and I basically walk in and I see a headlamp pretty much right where I was going to sit. And I was like, cool, I'm just going to back off 500 plus, you know, quarter mile, something like that. And I sit there, and then, of course, you know, 8 o'clock rolls around. Boom! Awesome. Two mornings back-to-back in a row in that same spot where I was going to sit. Birds get shot. And I'm like, well, trust the scout, right? So I know that from being there this often, I know where birds cross at a certain time at 9 a.m. Yeah. So I'm like, it's 8 o'clock at this point. I'm going to pick up and move. I move 2 miles and I go back to where my backup spot. Right. And I kind of go to this area.
It's still opening day.
This is opening Sunday.
Opening Sunday.
Yep. Okay. So I go back and I'm looking at this area. I'm like, it doesn't feel right. Right. You just got that instinct. So I just push a little bit back in this one area and I find the spot, and it just looks like a honey hole for turkeys. And I'm like, I can see an 360 degree around me. Every direction. I know where they're coming off from the private to the public. I know where they're I call it bebopping time, where they just hang out and play grab ass all day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is, you know, the area where they want to be, and it's crossing in between. And so it's 9:15 at this point, and you know, you get that mid morning lulls where I'm just like dozing off at a tree and the sun's hitting me on the face because it didn't rain that Sunday, it did the Saturday. And I'm just sitting there and I hear off in the distance, and I'm like, go time. And so he probably heard me scratching a little bit on my pot call before that, and I was probably asleep for maybe 10-15 minutes. And like Ken here taught me, it's like the 10-15 minute rule. Sometimes you gotta be a little more aggressive, but for the most part it's generally safe to call every 10-15 minutes. And so I stuck that to heart, and I'm never going to be aggressive, because like, if you guys noticed this year hunting, birds didn't call off the roost.
No, hell no.
So
no.
On public, at least this year, you can locate a bird on the limb, and then as soon as he jumped down, you didn't hear it gobble all day.
My private was the same way.
So you had to be different on the calls, because like, you'd hear your hens scratching all over the place in the trees, but as soon as they flew down, nothing. Right. So you had to be very conservative with your calling this year. So like, it was more like every 20 to 30 minutes, I'd maybe do a little like 3 to 5 note scratch, if that. So then that bird probably heard me, and then he just basically just walked right into the area that I just predicted him to come into, and it just worked out perfectly. And he was gobbling his head off the whole way through.
God, that's so good.
And I was like, so good. I was like, I just did it. Like, yeah. I like called this bird in perfectly, 42 yards. I felt like he knew something was up a little bit.
Yeah.
I had one single hen feeder decoy out. What do I run? AVNX? My Avian X feeder decoy out. He can see it, but he was like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
So I was like 42 yards. Like, you, after duck hunting so much, you just can kind of tell when something is in range.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, that's in range for a duck 100%. And he just stopped, just like his head up, and boom, just no flop, nothing, just dead on impact. TSS number 9s.
Cool, man.
And I was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm on the board. Right. And so I was like, this feels really good. So I go back and I go check him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's not really a Jake. It's just an immature Tom with a cut beard on it. Like, he's got, like, his fan's symmetrical.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one I did the video on.
Yeah, you reef him with that fan, right?
Yeah. So then I cut his fan off because you can tell if a bird's a Jake, but it's got, like, the middle feathers on it are, like, way higher than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, this bird's, like, it's, you know, straight across. And he's just got a really tiny beard on him, and it's like frayed and cut on the end. And I was like, ah, I'm just gonna count it as a Jake. Like, he's just you know, he's an immature Tom essentially. Yeah. He's probably a 2.5 year old bird, 2 year old bird at this point. And so I was like, all right, whatever. So I take his fan, and I'm like, I'm gonna use this for the rest of my season as my reaping fan, and I use it as a shield, and I wanted to use it for a decoy. No one on the market that I've found, at least, makes a quarter strut real fan attaching decoy. Jake decoy that I want. And I think that's the move. Because the Jake and the hen decoy, if you're going to run decoys, that's just the tried and true, right? No. The Jake and the hen. You piss off the Tom that he's taking the breeding hen.
Yeah,
right? So,
exactly.
So that's, but it's also the posture of these birds, of these decoys too. So that, like, I like the feeding hen because it's like, hey, everything's cool over here, right?
Yeah, she's come like, and hang out. I'm very safe with this little pussy protecting me.
Yeah.
And he wants to come over there.
Yeah. So if you're going to run one decoy, just take a feeding hen. Just if you're going to pack anything, just take a feeding hen. Maybe later in the season, you can take one of the breeding hens. If you know that the, I also have one of those too, where it's like a hen fully laying down on the ground and you can have a Tom stand up on top of that. I've never had it happen, but I've seen videos of it.
I shot a turkey sitting on a hen. Didn't even know it.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
It was a stalking situation. Yeah. The hen, thank God, didn't get hurt.
You let him finish at least?
I sure wish I would.
Anyway, gotta let him go out and good.
But yeah, I was like, oh my God. I didn't, you know, I.
Yeah. So those laying down breeding decoys are good when the grass is low, but this season, there's not many areas where the grass was low, at least on public.
Yeah, that would have worked like the first weekend.
Yeah.
First week.
First
opening week.
That was about it. But they're all flocked up anyway. So, you know, it was more of a right place, the right time situation. And then the second
bird. But on your own doing.
Yeah. The second bird this season was, I've been hammering this unit after work, at least scouting or scouting with a gun in my hand, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, like I kind of have it down now where they're hanging out at this specific time. End of shoot time across California is 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I get there at 3:45, 4 o'clock. I got an hour. Like, if anything, I'll make this hour as much productive as I possibly can. So, thankfully they're only like a mile and a half at the most away from the parking lot every single time I was out there. I just couldn't make it done. And then one day I would go to check a spot. I bump a bird. I'm like, okay, let me back off of him and try to flank him. Come. And as I'm backing off, I see like probably 300 yards away, a bunch of bebopping Toms or Jakes. And I'm like, oh, there's like 15 birds out here right now.
Nice.
12, 15 birds. And I'm like, okay, this is a good sign. There's a ton of birds in the area still. It's mid season. And I'm like, this is a really good sign because I thought everything was written off. They must have moved in from private that day. Because I was out there 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And consistency is key. The scout's key. And I ended up just pulling up one of those fans. And, you know, it's about 4 o'clock at this point. And I'm like, you know, it's time to be aggressive. The birds are starting to gobble earlier in the day. And by earlier in the day, I mean they only gobble right before they jump up on the roost at 7 to 8 o'clock at night. So now it's like 4 o'clock and maybe they're starting to gobble a little bit more.
Yeah.
So they don't gobble, you know, from limb to limb essentially. And so I open up my fan and I'm hiding behind a tree and I'm out there with my two hands and I'm making it look like it's kind of strutting around.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I could do a little bit of like a mouth call through inhaling the ow!
Dang.
Do that. I can't do it on anything else. So if you inhale and like flutter your uvula a little bit, you can do that. And so I got
them
to
learn that when he worked in gay porn or I just wondering anyway.
Yeah.
Continue on.
So I was gonna make a gay joke right now. I'm just gonna
now you completely derailed
me. Yeah, you derailed me.
Just derailed him.
Well, I was just so surprised by that noise that come out of you.
Yeah, you'd be smart. Johnson wants to take a back road down with me later. A little trip down.
You gotta do it while you're sucking, not when you're blowing.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Anywho, I see them out there. I do that sound, and I get like three birds to pick their heads up. And I'm like, now I piqued their attention.
Yeah.
So now that they know something's there. And so I basically just army crawl and, you know, flank them to where this little opening that I saw them at, I just like go into the woods a little bit and then so that I'm out of their view. And then I just use the trees and just sneak up on them. And then I start army crawling a little bit. And I got, you know, a foot and a half of stuff in front of me. And I'm just using this as I'm holding it open with my fingers.
Yeah.
And my gun. And I'm just army crawling. And then I get to the point where I'm just like up on one knee. And then I'm holding it in front of me. And I have my gun, like, you know, with my thumb holding it up in my shoulder. And then the nice thing about a like 20 gauge is you can just hold it one hand.
Yeah.
So at this point, they're all like looking like they know something's getting closer. They're at like 70, 75. And then I have just one at like what I thought was closer. I thought it was at like 45, 50. Turns out I dropped it at like 64. But I see this red head pop up and I'm like, done. And I'm holding my gun at one hand and the other one,
the fan
in my other hand. So I drop the fan and I just pick it up with my left hand just to make sure because it's so far away. And I pull the trigger and he, a little bit of a flop, but he was dead. And then you call me and I'm standing on his neck.
And then you didn't even think shit about it. You're such an asshole.
And
you got to get a little more boisterous. I can't believe you didn't say shit to me right after.
I wanted to have you have your moment.
That ain't went nowhere yet.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later. I'm not going to say anything. But it was 4:40, so I had 20 minutes left of shoot time. And I was like, sweet. So, you know, the reaping helped a little bit where you get their attention with the fan, use it as a shield, you move quietly, watch the sticks.
So dangerous on public.
The only reason why I did it was because I was the only truck in the parking lot and it was 4 p.m.
Totally. Yeah. It's still so sketchy.
It's so sketchy and I'm risking it. I really am.
Yeah.
It was a Wednesday or a Thursday or something and it was on public. And
well, you ever met anybody else that reaped turkey like that?
Yeah, so you don't gobble and you don't reap turkeys. What else don't you do?
I just fucking shoot them, man.
gobbling is a game changer.
And that fan, there's something about like
the iridescence
fan
of the feathers.
It's either the or it's just like the fan overall. Like you can get away with a lot behind a fan.
I got too cocky with it. I tried to do it again later in the season, and I got busted. So I was like, "This is gonna be easy now." Like, because I've done it on private about three times before that, and it was stupid. Yeah. 10 yards, 15 yards. I'm just laying prone with it.
That's how like the most turkeys I shot. They're like 10 yards away.
Yeah, you can do it on private pretty easy, but still, the most poached areas are private grounds. Yeah. So you don't know if somebody else is there for sure.
There's probably somebody poaching my spot.
Maybe.
And I don't know. Predators. They're gone now.
Predators, turkeys, raccoons, coyotes, mountain lions.
Well, my old buddy, God rest his soul, Bert, that died. His widow still lets me hunt up there.
Bert was feeding those birds for you, and you never even knew it.
That old bastard didn't go down that hill, man. I was a long way from the house. And once in a while, it's kind of cool because I go up there and hunt. I did it for, like I say, 12 years.
Yeah.
And we made a tradition. My kids grew up doing this. And we'd go up, so I always knew about 9:30, I better get up to the house because they're going to have breakfast and all that. And then once in a while, it didn't work out. And we'd be hanging out at the garage that's overlooking, we're up on a hill, and all of a sudden some goblins. And there's a couple turkeys over the years that we got that when we're sitting there drinking beer, we called up the hill towards the garage.
Yep. They always come up the hill. Down the hill, a little different. Up the hill, unless it was God's hill, then that was an anomaly.
Yeah, still up the hill. Still up the hill.
Yeah,
and it just, you know, so I remember, well, he's dead, so you can't fucking charge him. But I remember one year, this is, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, we did it, and I'm hiding behind this tomato plant, and I called like five of them up.
Nice.
And they're coming, and they're downhill from us. We're up right, kind of behind this garage, but you look, it's very rural, except for this place. And anyway, I'm like, oh, man, I'm kind of picking which one I want. And I'm getting ready. And then I hear, boom. And I go, boom. And the old bastard friggin' grabbed the old friggin' Model 12 out of the garage and friggin' shot a turkey.
Good for him.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I was like, what do you want? I don't want that thing. Get the fuck out of here, Johnny. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Bert. It was kind of funny.
So are you plucking your bird? Are you breasting your bird? What are you doing?
I breast it and then pull the legs off.
Okay.
That's what I did too.
I was hoping to get one this year because Casey and Gridley cleaned them.
Yeah.
And I was going to take him to that Ryan Kaufman guy that I had on the podcast a while ago. Because that guy, he's like a Anthony Bourdain type guy that can do all kinds of shit with parts of the bird. You had no idea that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't get lucky enough.
Yeah, his preferred meat is squirrel. Is that what you're saying?
That's his number one. Interesting. Yeah. But he's ate skunk. Yeah, he's
that was an interesting
podcast.
He's
got his place opened up there. Actually, I got to go do some deal down in the bay that weekend of his open. I'm going to try to swing by and Galt and visit him because he's got a badass place down there. It looks like. I don't know if you – do you follow him?
I do now because of the podcast. Plug him away, yeah. Coughlin Meats or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He's a cool guy. And like I say, we dropped a couple of ducks off to him the week before we did the podcast. And I was like, dang, he'd be very impressive.
Nice.
And he – you just take him your birds and he does – what he does with them. You don't really say, I want this and this. He just does what he does. And I don't know. I was extremely impressed by what he did with us.
So I save
awesome.
I save all my ducks and geese from the season. And I usually like doing something different. Ken made, you made chorizo last year, right? With yours?
What did we do last year? I don't remember what I did with them last year.
You did some
I
stuff.
I know this year we did. I mean, for the 23 season, we took all of the goose. The white goose, the dark goose, and the ducks, and basically put it all together and then just did snack sticks.
Yeah.
We did snack sticks and brats, I think, the year before. And then, like, usually salami with the venison. We were using a new place out of Reading. Jared was taking it over there. I wanted to see if they would do a summer sausage with the venison. I'd always like a summer sausage. I just got a ton of salami.
Well, I appreciate you. Give me some. It'll go to good use.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me know if you want some more.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty more where that came from.
Well, yeah. Salami and cheese. So.
Hell yeah.
I guess that's it. Right? Yes, sir. We got everything we need to say. Other than the three questions.
Three questions.
Well, yeah, I changed the last one.
Don't get mad at me for mine.
Oh, guys.
You got it? Did I already give it to you?
No, you have it.
Well, what the hell
happened? You just wrote it down. It's right there in your hand.
There we go. I changed the last one. You can read that, all right?
Preferred brand of truck? Because you own two now.
Oh, Toyota.
Yeah.
Not bad. Million miles.
I'm not really into the stuff from the Empire of Japan, but I will say very good, reliable truck. If you want to buy a side-by-side, buy a Toyota because anywhere a side-by-side will go. I will say that.
There you go. Yeah. No, I have 340,000. On my 06 Tundra, I plan on it going to a million.
It's not going to, but yes, yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, it will. It'll outlast me, that's for sure.
All right, turkey or waterfowl? Or deer?
Oh.
I think it might be turkey for you.
Got a number one.
It might, well...
Nostalgia-wise, it might be turkey.
It might be turkey. It gets into like the deer subject too, which we didn't talk about deer hunting at all this podcast, but I get really bad buck fever. However, that doesn't seem to be a problem when I'm bow hunting. And bow harvesting deer is amazing.
Well, that's your number one.
Yeah. So I'm going to go archery.
Well,
yeah.
But that's a very, you know, notable mention because, yeah, killing anything with a bow is very primitive, very personal. I will take that, but waterfowl is number one. But that is, I will accept that as an answer.
I was going to ask him the good old mojo or no mojo question, but I already know the answer is blade for him.
Yeah.
The blade is just the way to
go. Blue collar blade. Shout out to Matt Dill.
I
tried to give it on the podcast, but he was too scared.
That's all right. We can talk to him a little. Matt, if you're out there, we can get you on the podcast.
I don't think he listens. He's like, oh,
he might. He might.
I don't know. You sound like a real asshole.
Yeah.
If you know him, you should tell him to do it.
So. Hell yeah. All right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then my question.
I'm a little concerned.
What color of lab is best?
Oh. You know, so I have, you're asking this because I have a silver lab and
JKC doesn't say there's such thing, but all right, go ahead.
Yeah. You can go fuck yourself. So I love my Silver Lab. That dog and I started waterfowl hunting together. It has been a learning experience for the both of us. His nose is incredible. I love him dearly. That being said, if I was going to get another dog after him and it was going to be a lab, it would be Yellow.
All right, 0-3, man. But, hey, you did all right, buddy. Going off, yes.
That's all right.
I would like to see this mutant of a dog you have before I leave.
Oh yeah,
he's absolutely a mutant for sure. Titanium.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get them all in here as soon as we're done with this.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Ken. It's been an awesome time. Thank you for welcoming me into your home and hanging out with your red-haired cousin and. Hopefully we hunt again next year, man.
Hell yeah. What do you, I know that you said you're just taking points this year for your big game draw.
Yeah.
Just points.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to deer hunt. I'm all butt hurt.
Couldn't even convince you to like put in for like Gray Lodge or something close.
I mean, I might be able to do something like that.
G12 tag. It's not Gray Lodge.
Yeah. Well, the G12, right. And what, there's like 10,000 people putting in for it. So it's essentially the same thing.
I mean, I'm putting in my points, but when I say I'm not deer hunting, I mean, I ain't going to get a D3 through 5 because that's my homeland, which that's the deer tag you get every year when you're from Nevada County.
Yeah, absolutely. Grass Valley. That's where I got my deer last year.
Yeah, good place.
Off of, not far off of Brunswick.
Really?
Yeah.
I shot one in the McDonald's parking lot as a kid.
That's amazing.
Anyway, that's it. We're done. Please be sure to rate and review on iTunes and Spotify and wherever you listen to this shitty podcast at. And thank you, Ken. Thank you, Jeremy, for filling in for Robert while he's out there doing the Lord's work.
Robert, I would have much rather you been the other guest. I talked to Jeremy enough as it is.
Hell yeah, brother. Anyway. Also, Left Coast Waterfowl, we're doing the raffle for the hat. So see us June 1st.
I got to give you $70 here in a minute. So
all right. Yes.
Official Left Coast Water. Don't sell them all for friggin' marsh days. I'm telling you, man. Great deal. Go hunt with Tim. So, anyway, we'll talk to you sooner than you think. Bye.
Good night.